Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Today, host Richard Pettis brings you the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Saint of the Day, and our daily update. We will be right back after a few messages.
Looking for a Catholic counselor? Dr. Peter Klaponis, Deb Rojas, and the team at Integrity Counseling Services provide faithful Catholic counseling in Pennsylvania and beyond. We offer telehealth and in-person counseling for porn addiction, betrayal trauma, anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, and much more. You can find us at integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781. That's integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781.
Looking for a Catholic counselor or coach? Dr. Fred Boley provides faithful Catholic counseling and coaching for men in Missouri and beyond. He conveniently offers telehealth services for anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, or just getting stuff done. You can find him at stbarn.org or 872-269-1280. Once again, the number is 872-269-1280.
She is a Catholic recording artist, multi-award-winning songwriter. She sings contemporary and folk rock music. She has been in the music industry for over 5 years. Her music is her ministry. She aims to help people that suffer from all kinds of pain in life and try to bring them to the Lord through her music. She has 3 albums out and her music is being played on radio stations all over the world. Her website is lisamarienicole.com and she is on social media. Her music page is facebook.com Lisa Songs of Worship, YouTube at Lisa M. Nicole, Instagram Lisa_Marie_Nicole_official. Her songs can be purchased on her website, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and everywhere else. Her merchandise store has everything for her ministry and can be accessed through her website. Her new CDs will be available very soon and can be purchased through her website. She counts herself blessed that God has chosen her to help spread his message. She is Lisa Marie Nicole. Get her music today.
The Four Persons Network asks our Catholic friends to check out and join the fast-growing Catholic website, message board, and community at Catholicism Rock. The quality and diversity of contributors is breathtaking and the content spans everything from education to news and commentary and spiritual insight. Partners of the Four Persons and our friends. Please check them out at CatholicismRocks.com.
We at the Four Persons invite you to check out the Rock Company located in Bethlehem. Our friends Tony and Paulette Rock have an incredible selection of hand-crafted masterpieces and religious items. From nativity sets and Last Supper carvings to rosaries and crucifixes. They have items for every budget from modest cost all the way up to priceless treasures. They ship anywhere in the world. Please visit them at therockcompanyshop.com and tell them you heard about them on the Four Persons. The Four Persons, Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Join us at this hour of mercy for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for the intentions of the holy souls in purgatory and to rid the world of the scourge of abortion. The intro is by Donna Corey Gibson, copied from the YouTube channel Super School.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
Heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And that comes from the Diary of St. Faustina, paragraph 950. And that's one of yet many paragraphs that I'll be reading out of that book tomorrow. St. Faustina,
pray for us.
Pope St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
Jesus, we trust in you.
We do. Amen.
So I want to thank everybody that joined me in praying for Keela yesterday. It was still a difficult day, but it made me feel better knowing that there were people out there praying for her along with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I know about difficult days. I've been through quite a lot of them myself, as, you know, me and you have kind of talked off the air. And, you know, that's part of what this apostolate is about. We carry each other. There's been times when I've kind of helped pick you up, and there's been times when you've kind of helped pick me up, and that's just kind of the way this thing works, isn't it?
It is. So let's talk about St. William of Eskilso and his feast day.
Not to be confused with St. William of Hemsworth.
Exactly. Well, that's Sir William of Hemsworth.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So St. William of Eskilso is known by a few different names: William of Abelholt, Wilhelm of Abelholt, William of Eskilso, however you pronounce that in the Danish, and William of Paris, since he was born in Paris. He was born around the year 1125 at Paris in the Kingdom of France. He died on Easter Sunday, 1203, which was April 6th, 2023. Today, 821 years ago. He was born to a wealthy and prominent French family and was educated by his uncle Hugh, who was the 42nd abbot of Saint-Germain-des-Prés. He led an interesting life in his 78 years. After his education and ordination to the diaconate, St. William was awarded a position as a preband of the cathedral at the Abbey of St. Genevieve. And a preband is a type of a canon with an administrative role in either a cathedral or a collegiate church. St. William reportedly sought admission into a stricter house, either Cluniac or Cistercian, but ultimately decided to stay put. His austere life did nothing to earn him any favors among his fellow canons, who sought to prevent him from being ordained into the diaconate, even by means of slander to keep him from being ordained to the diaconate by the Archbishop of Paris. Instead, St. William would have to be ordained by the Bishop of Senlis, and that was at the intercession of his uncle. So in 1148, Pope Eugene III ordered that the secular canons of St. Genevieve be replaced by canons regularly from the Parisian monastery of St. Victor. St. William joined the new order, though he often butted heads with his abbot, who subjected him to humiliating disciplines. And St. William apparently complained to the Pope about this a good bit. In the year 1161, Absalon, the bishop of Roskilde, sent Saxo Grammaticus from Denmark to Paris to retrieve canons regular for the reform of the canonry at St. Thomas at Eskilso. It is said that Absalon and St. Wilhelm formed a close friendship. St. William did successfully reform that monastery and transferred to Abelholt in 1176. As the abbot at Abelholt, St. William worked hard to bring forth the change resulting from new standards of religious disciplines. Among these new religious disciplines was a stricter insistence on claustration, that is greater insistence on the religious being cloistered within the monastery. St. William also worked to establish and maintain links between Denmark's religious institutions that had similar inclinations to ecclesiastical rigor. In the year 1183, the monastery at Abelholt had 25 monks. It also served as a hostel for pilgrims and did not charge anything for staying or eating there. St. William died on Easter Sunday, 1203, which was April 6th of that year. St. William was canonized 21 years after he died by Pope Honorius on January 21st, 1224. St. William,
pray for us.
Amen and amen.
Very, very impressive. He's one of those fast trackers.
He is. And we've had a few of those over the last couple of weeks.
We have.
I mean, didn't we have a guy who was like 2 years after he died, he's canonized?
Yeah, which back then was very unusual. It's unusual today, but back then it was really unusual.
Yeah. I mean, it was incredibly unusual. I would argue that 21 years back or 20 years and change back in the day was probably unusual just because I don't know how quickly the mail traveled in those days and how quickly word could get from Denmark to the Vatican and back.
Yeah, in the days of the internet, you expect the process to be a lot quicker.
It's pretty much instantaneous today.
Yep, but the Holy Spirit will work as he will.
He does indeed. The Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a YouTube song, doesn't it?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Although I think that was talking about some chick.
Yeah, it could be. So Caitlin Clark won last night. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I did see that when I woke up this morning. I actually fell asleep about 7:30 last night.
Yeah. Well, she won in kind of controversial fashion. And, I always call it like I see it. Whether or not, I'm rooting for one team or the other, I try to be as honest and objective as I can.
Uh-huh.
And there are a lot of people that are pouting about the call. Connecticut was trying to go for potentially tying or winning points, depending on whether they got a two or a three, and they got called for an offensive foul, and all kinds of people are up in arms and saying that Connecticut was robbed and everything. I personally saw it, and I think it was a good call, but that's just my humble opinion. And if I objectively thought it was a bad call, I would say so.
And I don't know enough about basketball to know what's a good call and a bad call. I'm not a basketball fan.
Right. But I am
like
rooting
football.
Yeah.
I like football. I like baseball. I like NASCAR.
Yeah. Well, I like NASCAR and I like baseball. I'm just interested who you root for in NASCAR.
Chase Elliott.
Me and you are on the same page.
I used to be a Jimmy Johnson fan until he retired.
Yeah. I was a Bill Elliott fan. And then so by natural progression, when his son got into it, I started rooting for him.
Awesome Bill from Dawsonville.
Yeah.
They are both from Georgia.
Yeah, they are. And I remember I was wearing my Bill Elliott shirt one time, walking into the stands at Pocono Raceway, and some smart aleck Rusty Wallace fan says to me, "Oh, Bill Elliott, you root for Bill Elliott?" And I said, "I only got one thing to say to you." And he said, "What is that?" 212.809. You are dismissed.
Yep. That was the fastest speed on a NASCAR track at the time.
That's still the record.
Is it really?
It is still the record.
I thought Earnhardt Jr. had gotten 214.
No, the highest qualifying, official qualifying speed.
Oh, qualifying.
Yeah, qualifying speed. Yep.
Yeah.
212.809 by Bill Elliott at Talladega. Now, an interesting story about that. And very interesting, ironic story about that is that Bill Elliott also holds the record for the fastest qualifying speed of Daytona, which was in excess of 210 miles an hour. But in 2001, they came out with a special aero package that slowed the cars down dramatically.
Yes.
And Bill Elliott took the pole for that race at 183 miles an hour. And it turns out that was the slowest pole of the modern era at Daytona.
Really?
So before the race, they interviewed him and said, hey, Bill, you've got the fastest qualifying pole at Daytona and the slowest qualifying pole at Daytona. He said, how do you feel about that? And he had a very interesting thing to say. He said, believe it or not, it's a whole lot scarier now than it was then. And he said, how can you say that? He said, you know, you were going 25 miles an hour faster back then. He said, but back then, five or six best cars would separate themselves from the pack and settle the race among themselves. And, of course, you remember that. That's exactly what happened. It was.
Yes, it is.
Bill Elliott and, you know, somebody like Cale Yarborough, Bobby Allison, you know, later Davey Allison.
Richard Petty,
Earnhardt, you know, guys like that, okay, would separate themselves from the pack, and there'd be five or six of them, and they'd settle the deal among themselves. But he said now, he said the cars are so close and so on top of each other that, you know, one guy loses it. And, you know, he takes 20 cars out with him. There's no reaction time. And before the same race, they interviewed Dale Earnhardt before the same race. And he said, this aero package is going to get one of these drivers killed. It's going to get one of the drivers killed. Sadly enough, his words were quite prophetic because that was the race in which Dale Earnhardt was killed in the third turn of the last lap of the Daytona 500.
Yes, it is. And that was the restrictor plate.
And I don't like the fact that NASCAR never took responsibility.
No, it didn't. Something else that I don't like is the fact that Austin Dillon now drives the number three car, which for the better part of 20 years was retired.
It should have been. It should have stayed retired.
And it should still be retired.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I think anybody's car that gets killed while driving the car, that number ought to be retired.
Not just that. I mean, that's true, but Dale Earnhardt was everything to NASCAR. And when I say that NASCAR never took responsibility, I mean, you had Adam Petty and Kenny Irwin Jr. were both killed at New Hampshire in the same turn at the same track, and they blamed it on the accelerator pedals getting stuck. Come on.
Yes.
Don't insult our intelligence, okay?
I know.
And Neil Bonnet and Rodney Orr were both killed at Daytona. And, you know, we've had a number of fatalities at the track. But NASCAR could never be proved into pushed into putting in the safer barriers. All that changed after they lost Earnhardt because
he was the face of the race.
He was. He was. That was a name brand there. And, you know, it's almost a shame because it's almost like you're saying that, you know, Kenny Irwin Jr.'s life and Adam Petty's life, you know, weren't as important. And it just left a bad taste in my mouth because I felt like NASCAR had a responsibility to protect their drivers.
I still think they have a responsibility to protect their drivers. They just, at the time, NASCAR didn't want to spend the money.
Right.
You know, the speed was the more exciting part of it.
But I remember watching that race live with my family, and I knew right away that Earnhardt was in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that he would die, but as soon as I saw that accident, I looked at my family and said, oh, no. That's the kind of impact that really hurts a driver.
Yes, and when Juan Pablo Montoya is on the track, there's no jet dryer that's safe.
Yeah.
Didn't he crash into one a few years ago?
Was it him or was it Steve Park?
It was Juan Pablo Montoya.
Yeah. Yeah, there were
because after that he got kicked back out to Formula One.
There were a couple of drivers that were like that were just a terror on the track. Ernie Irvin, they used to call him Swervin' Irvin. Remember him, and also remember John Andretti. You would think that somebody that would come from such a racing heritage would be legendary, but he was anything but.
Exactly. Exactly. So tomorrow I'm not going to do a saint of the day. The show is going to be all about divine mercy because tomorrow is Mercy Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to read several of my favorite paragraphs out of St. Faustina's book. And if you've got a couple of favorite paragraphs, folks out there listening, email me on Facebook your favorite paragraphs, and I will read those as well.
Oh, and can I say something, Richard?
Sure.
With all due respect to those people that say that John Paul II was not a legitimate saint and the divine mercy devotion is not a legitimate devotion, may I say, with all due respect, shut up.
I agree. I agree. Divine mercy is a legitimate devotion, and Pope St. John Paul II was a legitimate pope. He was validly elected by the College of Cardinals. The chair has never been vacant.
If John Paul II is not a legitimate pope, then I wonder what a legitimate pope would look like.
Exactly.
Seriously.
I mean, you don't get much more traditional than John Paul II was.
Or saintly.
Exactly.
You don't get much more holy than he was.
Nope. You don't get much more saintly or holy than he was.
Right.
And he was a great, 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 great saint.
He was. Boy, we mentioned St. William of Hemsworth a few minutes ago. Didn't he have two great shows today? Sure.
I hadn't listened yet. I've been resting most of the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I spent most of my day today sleeping, to be honest.
Yeah, I need to do that myself. And coming up later tonight, folks, do not miss, me and Richard are going to do the play-by-play. We're going to kind of do the Monday Night Football color commentary along with Lisa Marie Nicole's Rockin' for God. We're going to feed the video stream into the mixer so we can listen along. And if we have any comments, we're going to chime in. And I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be fun.
Excuse me. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I just need to remember to have a couple of cough drops sitting here with me because this weather, you know, one day it's 80 degrees, the next day it's 33.
Sometimes in the same day.
Sometimes in the same day. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not used to this Alabama weather.
Yeah, I had somebody comment to me the other day because I had my parka at work, and he looks at me and says, "Why did you have a parka? It must be 70 degrees outside." I said, "Yeah, but it wasn't 70 degrees at 3:30 this morning."
Exactly.
When there was ice on my windshield. So that's the East Coast weather for you.
Yes, it is. But I can think of a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
You know, we could be in, Siberia. That doesn't sound like a fun and exciting place to be.
Yeah, I'm going to pass.
Yeah, that's a hard pass for me.
Yeah, and we could be in the Middle East, too. I mean, I'm going there, but I'm going there in November. You do not want to be going there in April, May, or June.
Or July.
When it's 900 degrees.
Yeah. And even in November, you're going to need a jacket because it's a very desert climate and deserts freeze very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cold at night. That's the thing about deserts. A lot of people don't realize. People understand that deserts are hot during the day. They don't understand they get cold at night.
Exactly.
So, and Steve Ray, from what I understand, has a penchant for wanting to get out really, really early. Did you see what happened with his February trip to the Holy Land? Did you happen to get a chance to see that?
No, I didn't.
So the February trip, the group got to the tomb of our Lord so early in the morning that they were able to celebrate Mass in the tomb.
Oh, wow.
So I'm hoping that there's going to be a repeat of that in November. And if it does, if that does happen, the good Lord can take me home right at that moment, because at that moment, I don't know anything else in my life that could top that. It's going to just be impossible to top that. To celebrate Mass in the tomb of our Lord.
Oh my gosh, you'll have to broadcast that over the four persons.
How do you put that into words?
I don't know that you can, except, oh my God.
Yeah. By the way, I touched on something the other day, and I'm not sure that people understood what I was talking about, so I want to kind of elaborate. When I talked about the energy that's put out by a Category 5 hurricane, and then I talked about the energy that was 700 times that, researchers have determined that in order to create a flash image on the Shroud of Turin, like the image that was created instantaneously, and that's what they've determined. I don't know how people are a lot smarter than me determine this stuff. But what they've determined is that the energy that was released was 34 trillion watts of energy. Trillion with a T.
Yes.
Richard,
that is
an insane amount of energy.
That's enough energy to provide electricity to the entire city of Atlanta for, what, a year?
No, it's actually far beyond that. They determined that a Category 5 hurricane, like Hurricane Andrew, would provide the electrical needs for the entire United States for 100 years.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And the light that was emitted into the Shroud of Turin is equivalent to 700 Hurricane Andrews.
Mm.
So we're talking about energy like the world has never seen.
Oh, wow. And by the way, while we're talking about weather, not that we're really talking about weather, all y'all folks up in New York, y'all need to answer the clue phone. God is sending y'all some serious messages. Y'all need to listen.
Yeah.
You hear about the lightning hitting the statue and then the earthquake?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Y'all need to pay attention because God is trying to tell you something up there.
Yeah. Could you imagine if a Category 5 hurricane made landfall up there and came up the Hudson River?
Oh, my God. The entire region would be destroyed.
Could you imagine the damage that would be done to the city of Manhattan? I mean, it's impossible to even comprehend.
Yeah, I mean, the island would wash away.
I mean, are we talking about something that's impossible? It's not.
No, it's not impossible.
So,
it hasn't happened in 200 and some odd years, but it could happen.
I just want to say something. When you talk about the walls of Jericho, you talk about the city of Jerusalem, you talk about the Titanic, you talk about the Twin Towers, all right? All that man has to say is that this is unsinkable or unbreakable, and they find out different.
Oh, yeah.
Because all of those things, the city of Jerusalem would never fall. The Titanic would never sink. The city of Rome, the Roman Empire would never be overthrown. The walls of Jericho could not be penetrated. In fact, did you know that one of the, it was either the owner or somebody representing the ownership of the White Star Line actually made the comment, God himself could not sink this ship?
That was J. Bruce Ismay.
Yeah. Not a real smart thing to say.
No. Definitely not. And there was something I was going to say on that very thing after you said, right before you said that, and I completely lost what I was going to say. I guess it wasn't that important.
Yeah, when the architect basically told them that the ship was going to founder, you remember that scene in the movie where he says, well, this ship can't sink. Remember his line?
She can, and she will.
It's made of iron, sir. I assure you she can.
And she is.
Yeah, and same thing with the Twin Towers. They were actually making a documentary about how the Twin Towers were built. And the documentary was supposed to be released in a few months. And it ended up being an obituary. Unfortunately, they never intended it that way. But they have one of the execs on one of the floors saying that I believe these buildings could withstand multiple planes crashing into them and not fall. He actually said that.
My guess is he's wrong.
Well, he ended up being proven wrong, and sadly, he was one of the people who perished in the towers. And it's sad to say. We're not making light of it. We're telling you a very sober reality. Do not think that you're safe from God's judgment. Do not think that you're safe from the wrath of God. Because when your day comes, it comes. There were a bunch of people crossing over a bridge in Baltimore recently that, the farthest thing from their mind was that they were about to meet their maker, but they did under very strange circumstances.
You know, and that is so true. Now, how close do you come to that bridge on your way to work every morning?
I work down in Gaithersburg, which is really the south part of the state. I barely cross over into Maryland, Gaithersburg, Rockville area. Baltimore is like way up there, probably 2 hours north of there.
Right.
Yeah. So, and the thing about it is when I travel up north, when I travel like to New York or New Jersey, I didn't go that way anyway. I would usually go through the Harbor Tunnel.
Uh-huh.
There's three ways you go: the Fort McHenry Tunnel, the Harbor Tunnel, or the Francis Scott Key Bridge. I think I went that way once, but I would usually go to the Harbor Tunnel in 895. But it's up there about two hours further. But it's definitely an area of commerce that they bring a lot of trucks and everything and a lot of ships through there.
It's definitely going to hurt the East Coast economy, no question about it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I don't want to be the guy to sit here and say conspiracy, but you got to wonder.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of funny. I was thinking accident, till I started looking at some of the evidence, and now I don't think it's an accident.
Yeah.
I think it was deliberate.
I believe it was.
Well, that ship abruptly changed direction just before the impact. Now, can somebody explain to me how a ship that's lost all of its power can abruptly change direction? If you can explain that to me, then, you know.
I concur.
Hey, did you happen to see the little short video I put out about the election?
I have not.
I posted it in the Four Persons group. It's about 2 minutes long. I invite anybody to watch it. I'll just give you a little teaser on it. If you believe these numbers that are coming out, Biden is in serious trouble, to the point where I don't think they're going to be able to even cheat enough to prevent what is coming. It's going to be such an overwhelming victory for Trump. They're not even going to be able to cheat their way out of it. Let's hope that transpires.
Yeah.
Because speaking just for myself, there ain't no way I think this country can survive 4 more years of this imbecile.
No. Although I don't think it's going to – I think it will have a tough time surviving 4 years of Trump as well.
Yeah. I think regardless, yeah, I think it's going to be we're in bad shape. Only God can save this country. We're in bad shape. There's a lot of people with a lot of mixed up ideas, and you know, you got people on one side that putting all their trust in government power, and you got people on the other side that are putting all their trust in corporate power and the mighty dollar. And you got too few people that are putting their trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Exactly. You know, which is where I was going with that earlier when I pointed out the message that's being sent to New York.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to get to the point where eventually we get to the point where the Book of Mercy closes and the Book of Justice opens. That's the sad thing about it, but that's the reality that we are hurtling towards. Because we live in a world that's very, very evil. And the United States used to be, you know, a light in the darkness, but not so much anymore.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
So,
not
anyway, I'm looking forward to co-hosting the show with you tonight. That's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll be here at 7 o'clock. And tune in, and you'll be able to listen live to Lisa Marie Nicole, unless you want to watch the video. But you just want to listen, you know, we'll add our... We're not going to be talking through the whole thing. What we'll do is we'll kind of
chime in where it's appropriate.
Yeah, chime in when we think that there's a point that needs to be emphasized or what have you. But otherwise, don't want to step on her show. She always does a great job, and she always has wonderful guests.
She does, and Faith O'Brien is her guest tonight, and Faith is the music minister at the church where Lisa goes, and she's also a concert pianist. And Lisa told me that she's going to play a couple of songs. And so it's really going to be a good show.
Yeah. And we got a bunch of really good chosen really good people on this program, and just real happy at you know, where things continue to go and the improvement that we continue to make. But we're not satisfied. We're not standing pat. We're we're just working that much harder to get better and better and better. And I'm sure you agree with me on that.
I do indeed agree with you. And I think we need to continue trying to get better every single day.
Yeah.
Because we're doing this for God, not for any other reason.
Yeah. And if you're not going forward, you're going backwards.
Exactly. And so as long as we are continuing to move forward in the direction of God, we are good to go. The minute we start changing direction, we're doing something wrong.
Yeah, once it gets to the point where, you know, where we start, selling out and doing things for clicks, when we start, compromising on the content and putting out stuff that's maybe not, you know, really honest and above board and promoting ourselves and all that, when that happens, I hope everybody jumps off like rats off of a sinking ship. Because at that point, when that happens, we've lost our way and determined to see to it that never happens. So you have been invited by email. Check your email. You've been sent an invite to direct connect to tonight's show so that we can both be able to do that. And I will see you at 7 p.m.
Roger that. And I'm going to play a quick song by Lisa Marie Nicole to get everybody ready for tonight. And then we're going to go from there.
All right. God bless you, brother.
God bless you. See you at 7.
Your hand when you want to give up. to the sun.
Okay, and that was Run to the Sun by Lisa Marie Nicole. And that's just to get everybody in the mood and ready for her show tonight, because she's going to have a great show like she always does. And John and I will be simulcasting it on Blog Talk Radio. And we'll kind of be color commentators. And we'll go from there. Now, friends, if you've been to my Facebook page, then you know that I've got some beautiful pictures there of things that I ordered from the rockcompanyshop.com. I'm serious, y'all. I'm not ever buying olive wood anything from anybody else ever again. Seriously. So anyway, with that, I want you to have a blessed rest of your Saturday. And remember that Sunday Mass is a Saturday decision. Have a blessed rest of your Saturday and a blessed Sunday until I see you at 3:30 Eastern. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all.